Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I remember coming out and I remember hearing the gasp, like, and I knew from that moment, like, yes, I think I've got something here.
What three wrestling matches would you watch if you were stranded on a desert island? This is what I'm asking wrestling's best. In the ring, around the ring, behind the scenes, or behind a microphone. I'm Tom Campbell. Thank you for joining me on Cultaholic Island for another episode of Desert Island Graps.
I really wish there was more black female wrestlers at the time that I could look up to when I was 5, 6, 7 years old that I could relate to. But it is what it is, and it's not about looking at the past, it's about looking into the future and then being able to, for me now as a wrestler, to step up and be that person at the forefront to inspire other young black female talent.
How are you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm smashing, thank you. You've been on Twitch a bit lately.
Well, I was with Mariah. Mariah has a Twitch where she plays Mario Kart. She does stuff like that. So I joined in, played a bit of Fortnite with her. It was really fun. But yeah, I love Twitch. I'm always on Twitch. Twitch all the time. But I don't stream, but I would love to by myself.
What's stopping you getting into it? Like, we're all in lockdown at the moment, looking for stuff to do.
Probably expensive, that's why. Do you know what I mean? Like, to get everything together, it's a lot of money.
Oh, no. It depends kind of what you want to do. Like, I do a bit on Twitch, and I haven't invested in a microphone or a camera, and I've got an app that turns my iPhone into a camera. That saves me 300 quid off the bat.
Okay, fair enough.
What would you be streaming, like, if you were on there?
See, I'll probably be streaming Fortnite, because I love Fortnite so much. Yeah, probably one of my favourite games. I just love it so much.
What's your best kill on Fortnite?
When I downloaded the new update, I think it was just before the new season started, I got my first victory royale. It was like 4 kills with a win, so it wasn't too bad all on my own. But if it was like Rumble, then I usually get like 20 kills, which is quite good.
For somebody that's good. I've tried it once, never got into it. If someone's listening today who hasn't got into Fortnite, where's a good place for them to start playing it?
Yeah, like, if you want to get into how the game works, like, there's so many videos on Twitch, so many videos on YouTube. So it's a really fun game. So definitely, like, I love it. I love it so much. It's my home away from home, Fortnite is, I swear to God.
We're sending you onto a desert island.
I don't know about on my own, but...
I mean, you're in good company. There's quite a few noteworthy folk there on different parts of the island, and they've all done the same as you have, in which they've chosen 3 wrestling matches that they can watch whilst they are stranded on said desert island. So we're going to find out from you today what those 3 matches would be. What would your first match be, Chikara?
I think my first match would have to be... a good old classic. I think Undertaker versus Kane in the Inferno match, as far as I'm aware.
Unforgiven 1998.
The Inferno match is something birthed in hell. It has never been witnessed and is difficult and frightening to envision. 2 brothers will be surrounded in walls of fire, and at least 1 man will ignite.
Whether there's fire around the ring, fire in the ring, fire on me, when you're looking up at your brother and your body is set on fire, it will truly be the beginning of your eternal damnation.
So it was before I was born, but, you know, I love watching old school wrestling matches, and I think that's something that would really take your mind off being on your own in a deserted island, personally.
How did you stumble across that match?
Well, see, it was just a network. It was a few years back. It was just like on a network. I like the Undertaker, you see, so I was typing his name. Mm. I saw his match. I was like, oh my God, this is actually incredible. Like, I actually want to watch this. This is, like, I love Undertaker so much. I think he's so entertaining. He's so entertaining. I think he just brings a different sort of vibe, you know, and I just, it's just like, feel like you're a kid, you know, like, you feel like you just like, you feel like you're in your room day before school, shouldn't be on TV watching wrestling, but you are anyway, sort of feeling. So that's how I got stumbled over that match.
You had some wrestling fans in your house, didn't you, when you were growing up, who got you into it? Was it your mum that got you into it?
My mum, yes. My mum was a huge fan.
Can you remember the first time you watched wrestling with your mum?
I think it was WrestleMania. Let me get it up, because I don't remember. WrestleMania, I think it was 2008, I think. Let me remember. I need to see what the headline was, though. If it was, no, it must have been 2010.
What was the main event one?
Let me see. I'm looking at the card now. Oh my God. Well, John Cena was on it anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. John Cena was on it, and it was John Cena versus Batista, it looks like from 26. Yeah, I think I remember this one. It was CM Punk and Ray, I think.
Good lady.
It was so long ago. WrestleMania 26.
That's the one.
It was in Arizona.
So did you watch that live with your mum?
Yeah, I watched it live. I used to watch WrestleMania every year when I was like between the ages of like 8 to like 14. But just remembering my first one, I think it was 2010 I first watched WrestleMania. I think it was this one with John Cena and Batista in it, I think. So, yeah.
What was your initial reaction to it when your mum said, hey, come watch the wrestling with me? What was your first reaction to it?
Oh, I was so excited because I got to stay up late. But I was excited because, my mum was always a big fan of it, so it wasn't new to me in that sense. It was more of a, okay, cool, let me just sit down and actually understand what wrestling's about sort of thing. And, I think from watching that every year with my mum, it really gave me that sort of inspiration to become one. I don't know what, it's really weird, but I sort of took those matches I used to watch with my mum and then sort of do my own thing with it. So I used to watch a lot of TNA. And I used to watch a lot of that. And that's where my first love for wrestling came from, was actually TNA, like by myself. So I used to love the beautiful people. I used to love, you know, Angelina. I used to love Velvet Sky, stuff like that. I used to love them. And from there, I was like, yeah, I want to be a women's wrestler. I can do it. And that's how it sort of just grew and grew from there.
Did you feel like you wanted like your own sort of wrestling thing then? Was TNA sort of your personal thing?
Loved it. I thought it was my favourite. Like there were so many different moments in the years that I watched TNA back in the day when it was actually TNA, not Impact. Well, it was TNA going into Impact. And I was like one of the best times. Like the beautiful people were one of my favorite people, one of my favorite group stables in wrestling at the time. Like I loved it. I didn't know anything else. It's just them. Every time I saw them on TV, I was freaking out. I used to watch it on my YouTube, on my phone. And I used to just try and catch up with the highlights. So I used to sort of pick together. I used to go on like, I know it's bad, but I used to go on like Daily Motion when I was like 8, 9, 10 years old, trying to search up the full show. Awful, like 144p quality, but you know, it made me happy. So that was one of the that was really cool for me to sort of grow up watching.
We'll go back into TNA, but with you say like The Undertaker, how he was one of your favorites. Obviously, the first WrestleMania you watched, it was his big match with Shawn Michaels. Was it at that show that you fell in love with The Undertaker?
Yeah, well, I was just like, as when you're younger, you're thinking, oh my God, look at this scary guy. And I was like, instead of me being scared, I was like more mesmerized. I was like, who is this cool, scary dude? And like, he's like, you know, we had the whole crowd there. It's just the whole ambience of it all.
everyone's just silent. All you see is like the smartphones with their flashlights on, and you just see him, and it's just like, looking back, and it's just so nostalgic, and it's just amazing. And that's I don't know, it just changed how I looked at wrestling ever since. Just like him as a character, as a personality in wrestling, like, it's so iconic.
How did it change?
What, my outlook?
Yeah, how did he change your outlook?
It changed my outlook because he wasn't like anybody else, in my opinion, from the little I knew at the time of wrestling. He was just so left, so not your standard wrestler. Because whenever I thought of wrestling before, I thought, you know, muscly guys, you know, tight shorts, you know, boots, and that's it, you know, just your wrestler. And then I saw him in the main event. I was like, oh, okay. Like, who's this guy? And he sort of drew me in that sense. He was just something different. And just even when he was like, you know, when he does his pins at the end and he crosses the arms over the body, like, that was so cool to me. And even looking back at it now as a wrestler, I'm thinking, what genius is that? Like, you know, he's the dead man, he's the Undertaker, and the way he pins his opponent sometimes is with the cross of the hands. And like, you know, when he does that sit up thing and everyone freaks out, that to me is amazing. It's just so much, like, just little details. Now as a 20-year-old thinking back in the day, like, this is actually genius. And yeah, that's what sort of made me enjoy wrestling more, because I saw it more of an art than just a sport. That makes sense.
How much would you say, obviously, because whilst they're not the same sort of, they're not the same characters, they're both sort of buried in mythology and in the roots. How much of the Undertaker would you say is inspired the goddess Chikara?
I think, I don't know about inspiration, but I definitely like the way I carry myself, maybe, in a sense, you know, like, I like, so I know that Undertaker, when he does his character, when he's in character, he is 100% the Undertaker. There's no little bit of Mark anywhere. It's just him, from what I think, from what I take from it. So when I'm the Golden Goddess, I sort of apply the same thing to that. Like, I am just a Golden Goddess. I am now this character. This is how I'm going to show myself to these people when I come out. I'm no longer Chikara. I'm just the Golden Goddess, so I'm gonna be a bitch, or I'm gonna be this person, or da 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 da. I'm gonna chuck his hat, or I'm gonna dip my finger into his drink, or I'm just gonna, you know, slag this person off, and da 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 da, just be an, oh, just so everyone hates me in that sense. So that's why I've come into a character, if anything else.
When you first watched WrestleMania with your mum all those years ago, Golden Goddess was very far in the future. What was your mum's reaction though when you said, "I'd like to do this as a living, as a thing"?
She said to me, I told her when I was like 10 or 11, like, "Mom, I'm going to be a wrestler." And she was like, "Yeah, yeah. Like, see how you feel in like a couple of years, then come back to me." But then literally a couple of years, I got back to her. And I told her again, I was like, "Yeah, I want to be a wrestler." And she's like, "All right, well, better start looking for classes then." And at the time, there was none for my age group, because I wasn't 16 yet. So therefore, I went to karate classes, thinking, oh, yeah, it's the same thing, you know, contact stuff, da, da, da. Wasn't at all, completely different. But yeah, like, I got to like a green belt in karate, and then when I turned 16, or no, when I turned 15 or something like that, I went to the knuckle lock school, and from then it's history.
What was you have this green belt that kind of came about because you were pursuing a career in wrestling. How did that help? Did that help in any way when you moved over to knuckle locks?
Not at all.
All right.
Nothing.
I don't know whether you would have learned something beyond that, whether it was like conditioning or anything like that, or whether there was anything you could carry over from that.
Like I'm not going to be that sort of person, like, yeah, like, karate really did inspire, it really didn't at the time. Like, I was just there for the best time. You know what I mean? I thought I was going to be doing some slam, some choke, you know, stuff like that. Nothing at all. Because karate is a non-contact sport, I think. It's a non-contact martial art. And it's not like BJJ or anything like that. So it was a lot of just like kicking the air and stuff. So whenever we did get to spar, I was all over it. But we did that every now and again. So I really didn't take much from it, to be honest.
Did you let on to anybody in that class that you had aspirations of being a wrestler and that's why you were there?
I told a lot of people at school. Told a lot of people at school. And they were like, "Oh my God, that's so weird." I'm like, whatever. But everyone knew me as like the girl that just loved wrestling. That was me. Like, I used to go to school with, like, listen to WWE. You know the albums they used to have on like, Apple Music?
WWE, the
like,
music.
I was just out on my school, like, Randy Orton and Undertaker and Batista and all that stuff. Like, all their music. So I used to listen to that going to school, thinking I'm going to be in the ring one day. But with karate, I only really went once a week. So I didn't really have time to talk to anyone. Because literally, get in, get changed, get to class and leave. So it wasn't really that opportunity to talk about it. But when it came to school, then definitely, yeah.
There's something about being a school kid and wanting to and aspiring to be a wrestler, because you focus on things like, oh, what my character would be, what my finisher would be. What was your theme music going to be?
My theme music?
Because you say, like, you listen to, like, the WWE albums on the way in, and I'm as guilty as anybody. Like, as I was a kid, like, in my head, I had a certain song that played that I was going to walk out to. And I wonder if you had a particular song that you're like, when I become a wrestler, that's going to be my theme music as a young kid.
Do you know what? When I was looking for music as a wrestler, I found it hard. I didn't have a clue because I was having my first match. I didn't know what music I wanted to have. And then so before wanting to be a wrestler, before actually pursuing the career as being a wrestler, I really didn't have an idea. There was some music that I liked, but I didn't know what I wanted to be as a wrestler. Like, I didn't have any character. Like, I'm not very creative in that sense. Like, I never have been. So I never really had a type of music, but I think the one, when I first became the Golden Goddess, however, I did want to have Katy Perry as my theme song. What's the song called again? It's the one where she's Egyptian, which is handy for me.
Is it? Are you ready for a... ready for perfect? No, it's not that one, is it?
Yeah, that one.
Oh, is it that one?
That one.
What's it called?
That one.
Dark Horse. Dark Horse.
There we go.
I'm singing the song in my head to find the chorus.
Yeah, it's like ready for Dark Horse, baby.
That's exactly how it sounds as well.
Yeah.
I kind of prefer what you went for. You went for Sar B Escalate, which I think is a banger. And it just suits you down to the ground. Okay.
Yeah, it's a brilliant song. Like, I found that. I don't even know how I found that song, to be honest. I think I was just searching up, like, majestic songs or, like, trap sort of songs, like, with a, you know, something like that anyway, something crazy to find out. And it worked out right. But I love my song. I do. I love it a lot. Like, I think it's a great song. And I think it suits my character. Especially when you have, like, a really good venue as well. We've got the lights going and the music starts. It's a really long entrance before I even come out. I love it. Really cool.
Golden Goddess is in construction at Knuckle Locks at the age of 15. Tell me something you learned from your first day of wrestling training.
Well, I learned that bumps are very painful. Especially your first one. I learned probably my very first day at Knuckle Locks, I probably learned how to be confident in myself. That was probably the main thing. We didn't do too much that day. It was more just, you know, very basic, are you able to do this sort of career sort of test? But we did hit the ropes, and we did some bumps and stuff like that. And I am telling you, I was in pain the next day, and I had school. But I felt like at one point I was like, nah, I can't do this. It's awful. But obviously, you get used to it. But probably the first day it was sort of just getting used to being in that environment. You know, being confident, talking to people, and just learning to get your head down. That was probably what I took away from my very first lesson at Knuckle Locks, or the Projo at the time.
Who offered you advice on the first day that always stays with you as well?
On the first day of my training?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what? Probably, and it wouldn't have been my trainer, but I would say, like, my mum, because I was really nervous, you see. So my mum came with me my first day. She was like, don't give up. You got this. If you don't want to do it, that's fine. If you do want to do it, then work as hard as you can. So that stuck with me a lot. And that's what I did.
So did your mum watch your first day of training?
She took me there, and then she had to go back to work. But she was there with me until I actually got into the building and got set up and ready, and then she left.
I can imagine that the butterflies must have been, like, pterodactyls in your mum's stomach, like leaving you to go and try it out for
she
the first time.
She was more excited than me.
Oh, was she? Oh, brilliant.
Yeah. So she loves it, you see. I don't know what I was doing, to be honest.
We want to talk a little bit more about you breaking into the wrestling world. But before we do, we need to get to your second match for your DVD. So we have Undertaker and Kane, the Inferno match from 1998, the one where Paul Bearer got a drum on his head, if I remember correctly as well. I forgot to mention that earlier. Your second match, what will your second match be?
It would have to be, so I was really looking, because when you said about picking three matches, I was really looking and trying to open up the memory book in my mind. It would have to be The Beautiful People versus ODB and Gail Kim. That was from TNA back in 2008.
Introducing team number one from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Angelina Love, and her tag team partner from the Big Apple, Building Sky.
Last week here on Impact, two of the beautiful people, TNA Knockouts Angelina Love and Velvet Sky, well, they offered up a makeover for Roxy Laveau that, as you can see, turned very physical. Angelina and Velvet attack the Voodoo Queen backstage in the makeup room.
Their opponents fresh from Minneapolis, Minnesota, ODB.
Revisit what went down last week after Gail Kim defeated Velvet Sky. Well, first it was Awesome Kong hitting the ring. Yeah, there you see it, the attack on Gail Kim. And then when Kong's associate, Raisha Saeed, used that knockout championship belt as a weapon, it was ODB to the rescue. She made the save for Gail Kim, swinging the steel chair. It was just moments ago when we heard Raisha Saeed refer to Gail Kim and ODB as swines. Swines whose plan failed at Destination X when Kong retained the TNA Knockout title in the three-way match. Things far from over between these three and four if you add in Raisha Saeed, because Awesome Kong has marked them for destruction, and she promises they will suffer her wrath.
Everything I loved about women wrestling at the time, and it was just brilliant. And ODB is someone that I believe doesn't get the credit she deserves. She's one of the best. Like, I love her. Just her attitude, the way she was, her character, her gimmick, just the way she wrestled, she's one of the best, and I love her so much. So, that's probably my second match.
How did you discover TNA wrestling in the first place? Because it's quite hard to find in the UK.
So I discovered TNA because I was searching up Jeff Hardy. And Jeff Hardy obviously wrestled in TNA as well as WWE. So obviously once I was Jeff Hardy, then TNA came up. And I was like, all right, what's TNA? And then from there, it just became like a little dark hole of wrestling. Just went down, down, down the spiral, finding all these matches, all these promotions. But I think it was Jeff Hardy. And then... So I watched, then from there, I backtracked on there and watched a lot of their matches and fell in love with all these different people. Like, my finisher move is the Widow's Peak, which was inspired by Victoria, who was in TNA as well as WWE. But I didn't know Victoria in WWE. I knew her in TNA. So that's why a lot of my stuff is inspired by TNA, Impact, stuff like that.
What is it? Why this match in particular, from all the matches that you could have chosen featuring the beautiful people, ODB and Gail Kim? Why this match in particular?
I think it was like the promo at the beginning. I think it was probably one of my first, memories as well of the beautiful people. I remember ODB being there, and I remember that at the time, kind of knew it was around, I think it was 08. I think I wrote it down before. It was 2008, so I sort of started around that time, like 8 to 10 years old. So I remember backtracking a lot of those years. And I used to remember go in bed about 10 o'clock and watching wrestling till about 6 a.m. in the morning. So I was watching so much wrestling. And I remember this match was always something I used to go back on and loved. So probably because of my first memory of wrestling, women's wrestling in a way, and my love for the beautiful people.
How eye-opening was it to go from WWE, which had a lot of focus on a sort of sex appeal within the wrestling industry to somewhere like TNA, which people forget this. And I don't think TNA gets the love and the respect for this anymore, where everybody talks about how talks about this women's revolution in the WWE. But TNA were doing that in 2008. Like, how amazing was this to see?
I saw TNA as, like, the women wrestlers in TNA as equal. Like, in my opinion, from what I remember as when I was younger, they got a lot of time. There was a lot of, you know, investment. Like, the beautiful people were money back in the day in TNA. They were money. They were it. Like, we had, like, Madison Rayne and Madison Rayne, you know, Velvet Sky, Angela Love. Then you had, like, ODB, and ODB had that storyline of Eric Young. That was brilliant. Like, there's so much interconnections with different wrestlers. It wasn't just women wrestlers and the male wrestlers. It was different things going on. And, you know, when you had all of that going on, I just loved it. And obviously Gail Kim as well. Gail Kim, one of the best wrestlers, women wrestlers ever, I believe. I think Gail Kim's fantastic. And then her run as TNA Women's Champion was brilliant, as far as I remember. And it was just so many good memories. I never really believed that they weren't equal from looking at it as on TV. And I felt like they were just really inspirational to me, and I believe that if they could do it, they can go on TV. And
just want to take a little bit of time out from our chat with Chikara. She'll be back in just a moment on this episode of Desert Island Graps. But since we're on the island, how about an audiobook to have in your ears whilst you're sunning it up? Well, we've teamed up with Audible to sort you out a free wrestling audiobook. And you've got quite the selection over at cultaholic.com/audible right now. Jim Ross from Under the Black Hat, read by Jim Ross. It is an amazing story that Jim Ross has had, and he tells it from his mouth and from his heart as well. Wrestling for My Life, which is the story of legend, reality, and the faith of Shawn Michaels. And this is an amazing comeback story from Shawn Michaels. I think any fan that knows his worth will know the story and the lifetime of Shawn Michaels. Hear it from the man himself. Dylan Hornswoggle Postel, Life is Short and So Am I. It is the life of Hornswoggle, as read by Hornswoggle. You won't believe some of the stuff that Dylan Postel has got up to in the world of wrestling. It'll blow your mind, and you can hear about it in his audiobook. The Death of WCW is one of my favourites, only available from Audible. R.D. Reynolds and Brian Alvarez sharing the unbelievable story of the rise and fall of WCW. Any of those right now, they're free for you as a Cultaholic subscriber. Go to cultaholic.com/audible and sign up to Audible for a free 30-day trial. Try out some 200,000 plus titles. But if you don't feel like Audible is for you after a couple of days or whatever, you can cancel it. Absolutely fine. But even if you cancel it, the audiobook that you got through us, you can keep forever. It's nice, that, isn't it? More details right now at cultaholic.com/audible. Go take a look at what's there and have a free audiobook on us.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Pride of Brighton. The Pride of Brighton Championship. You tick all of those boxes, don't you, Cassius? You have that Brighton personality. You are the best candidate for this tournament, aren't you, Cassius? See, Cassius, your eyebrows are in tatters, your slut drops are weak, and there is nothing that you can do to stop me from becoming the first Pride of Brighton champion.
Let's construct the golden goddess. Are you a fan of Egyptian lore?
I did a lot of, in school, we did a lot in history before the GCSEs. We did a lot about the Egyptian stuff like that. And I loved that. I remember going to the museum with my school, and we learned a lot about the Egyptian era and stuff like that. And then that was a few years before I even got into wrestling, but I still remember it as one of my more memorable trips of school, because I thought it was really fascinating. I think history is fascinating anyway. So when it came to a time to, like, you know, I want to revamp my look, my gimmick, I thought, you know what, the golden goddess, you know, like, I was thinking about, you know, like, all these beautiful, you know, kings and queens from back in the day. That's like looking on Google, and I was looking at these inspiration, and I was looking at, right, what do I know so far about, you know, Egyptians and, you know, their history. And I remember the Tutankhamun. I remember that. And I remember going to school, and I remember looking at, when I went to the museum, and we went to this sort of film thing we did as part of the whole day. It was about Tutankhamun, and I loved it. I thought it was a brilliant day out, and I went back to, like, you know what? I could sort of portray it with respect, and, you know, with, by putting on the symbols like the eye of Horus, and then putting on, you know, different things. Because I think Egyptian history is amazing. I think it's beautiful, and, like, I would love to go to Egypt one day, you know. And I think I feel like I suited that sort of gimmick that I had in my head, you know, like with blonde hair, you know, and like in my skin. And obviously I have like the red and gold, or the black and gold, and gold really suits me anyway. So I really wanted to just like tap into that and just go from there.
If you were alive during the ancient Egyptian era, what do you think you'd be doing?
What would I? That's a bloody hard question,
isn't
it?
Good question that I asked.
See, I would want to be like a queen, or maybe like the king's daughter or something like that, you know. So, like, I don't have too much stuff to do, but you all got to respect me. You know what I mean?
I can kick, like, back, but you're going to bow down to me.
Yeah. And I would make sure that all women are treated equally, and, you know, women's rights all day long, and make sure all the men do all the dirty work. I'm joking. But I'd probably just be like, I want to be a queen, you know, sit on my throne all day. But I'd make sure everyone's equal. There'd be no sort of, you know, poverty or anything like that. Everyone be eating as well as I am. That's how sort of queen I would be. A nice queen.
I like it. I like it. It's reassuring to know, should we ever invent time travel, that you'll be all right. What was the reaction initially when you sort of premiered the Golden Goddess to people?
Well, I debuted it at Progress Unboxing. I think it was like 2016. I'm not too sure. 2016, I think it was 2016 or 2017. 2017, I think. Yeah. And I was nervous because it was a new thing I was doing. Like, no one, like, I didn't really. I told a few people, but it was really down to the reaction. And from there, it was very, very exciting. Everyone knew me as well as just Chikara. Like, I was just playing Jane Chikara. I didn't do anything else. I knew that I had to sort of bring it up now and bring myself up a notch. So when I remember coming out, and I remember hearing the gasp, like, And I knew from that moment, like, yes, like, I think I've got something here. Like, it's not, whether or not it's not the finalized product, I've got something that I could work on and I could work with. I remember seeing the tweets and everyone's like, Chikara looks great. Chikara's new gimmick, Chikara's new gear. I'm thinking, great, this is what I want. And now I can take ideas and take inspiration now and take advice to improve myself and become better as well.
Of all the places where we've seen Chikara, the golden goddess, born like at Rev Pro and Eve and at Riptide and Progress, of course, and Wrestling Resurgence, where do you think, where have you got the most love for the golden goddess?
I think Riptide, then Resurgence, then Progress, in different ways though. So with Riptide, when I had my big match of Big Swole, I had my face turn there. I feel like before that match, a lot of people wanted me to turn, a lot of people wanted to cheer for me, but because I was still the bad guy, that wasn't the case. So when I had that story, that two-day thing with Big Swole, when I had that match with her, it really brought me back to when I first started being a god and goddess and thinking, wow, I'm here now. Like, wow, like, this has been a journey, and now I've got people, you know, nearly pretty much in tears over the match I had at Big Swole. And then, you know, the amount of love I got that night, I was crying in the ring after my match, and it just felt like a different level. It felt like a new step in my God and Goddess career. That makes sense.
Yeah, I get it. Talk to us about that, Matt, those series of matches with Big Swole, because Big Swole by this point had debuted for AEW, so she was on an international level. Was there any intimidation about being in there with somebody who was plying their trade in America?
See, I was nervous. I was really nervous. I was nervous because, you know, I don't want to do a bad job, but then, you know, she goes back to America and be like, Chikara's absolute shite, ain't she? Bloody hell. Like, do you know what I mean? And I wanted to just do the best I could possibly do. And I had a lot of pressure. I put pressure on myself to perform, because obviously Riptide put a lot of trust in me to perform and do the best I can and represent Riptide, represent UK wrestling, you know? And I think I did a good job that day, those 2 days. The first match I had at Big Swole, I was really nervous, but she made me feel so comfortable. Like, Big Swole was just one of the most sweetest people you'll ever meet. And she's so nice. And she always, you know, she does message every now and again. She congratulated me on my PWI, which I do credit her for as well. Like, I believe that match of her really did help me sort of level up a little bit. And then my second match was really, really intense as well, because we really had to bring it home and really tell the story as well as we can to make it, like, just put that full stop on it. And I believe that we did it. We did create some magic that night. And I think I'm forever indebted to her for that. She really did help me improve as a wrestler, as a person.
It shows sometimes the best stories are the most simple. Like, those the groundswell of support for you at Riptide during those matches. Like, the first match happens and doesn't go your way, and then you have Big Swole saying, look, tonight you're going to get another shot. And I want to see the real you. And if I don't get it, I'm gonna kick your head in. And it's that, yeah, that pride of work that comes through, and that led to, like, Brighton's Riptide promotion is something else. And because I know you've done that in many other promotions, but I wanted to big up Riptide quite a bit, because that's a really unique wrestling product they've got, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. They really taken something and made it into something where wrestling's for all people, no matter what gender you are, no matter what you identify as, no matter if you're big, small, black, white, blue, purple, it doesn't matter. You're welcome, and you'll never feel out of place at Riptide.
You've had an amazing groundswell of support yourself recently after the announcement of the PWI 500. Now, this is a unique year in the PWI.
Yeah.
It's the first time that men and women are being put in the same list together. And as if I've got this stat correct, you are the highest ranking British female in the list.
Well,
or the only.
Yeah, I think I'm the only as well.
By virtue of being the highest, you're the only. Like that's yeah, amazing. When did you find out you were going to make the 500?
Well, see, I found out about a month before, but I didn't know when it was going to be announced. I didn't know when it was coming out, nothing like that. Nor did I know that I was going to be the only British female on it either. I didn't know at all until the day it came out on Twitter. So I was shocked. I was really shocked. I was really surprised. But then again, I was really proud of myself because it's a hard achievement to do. But it doesn't take away from the fact that I wouldn't be where I am at without the people that I wrestled against, you know? And, you know, it was a really weird day for me because there's so many people that deserve to be on that list too. And, you know, so for me to be on it was really crazy for me to, and I always said to myself, I would love to just be on a PWI 500 list once. I'd love to be. Because when I was younger, I used to always look on Wikipedia and look at, and scroll down to the bottom and look at the accolades and achievements as PWI. Like, oh my God, I'd love to be on that one day. That sounds really cool. And I'm on it. I'm like, what? Like, why am I on it? Do you know what I mean? I was surprised, but I was really proud of myself that day. I really was.
Was there anybody that reached out to congratulate you that you were surprised reached out?
It was so many Twitter mentions I couldn't even keep up, to be honest. But I felt the love that day regardless. And a lot of people DM'd me and said congratulations. And obviously Big Swole DM'd me prior to the announcement anyway, but she said congratulations to me and stuff like that. A lot of promotions of companies, stuff like that came back to me. It was really nice. It was a really, really loving day.
It shows a real turning point that we're now at a point. And it seems weird that it's taken this long that we've got men and women in the same PWI 500. And it's a shame that it's taken this long to happen. There's been some big changes in general to wrestling and British wrestling during lockdown. One of the big speaking points has been the speaking out movement. Now, at time of recording, the BBC have reported on it via their BBC Sport channels. We now have a group based in Parliament that are putting an inquiry into it. But I'd like to get your thoughts on it because obviously you're very close with Mariah and there's a lot going on with her at the moment that I think needs to be talked about some more as well.
Yes. So with the speaking out movement, it's been hard to say it. It's so hard to describe this, you know?
It was like somebody, and for many it's been a lifestyle for the longest of time, but it's almost as if wrestling opened the curtains and you saw behind it for the first time.
Yeah,
or somebody broke a dam and it was just all of a sudden like everything was out there.
Yeah, it was really an eye opening moment for a lot of girls. Just goes to show that you know, no matter how dandy sports may look or how handy or nice wrestling looks, it really, you know, once you peel down the layers, like an onion, you know, there's always gonna be sometimes there'll be a rotten core. And now the idea of the speaking out movement now is to get rid of that rotten core, chuck that out and replace it with a new one and grow with that. That's how I can describe it, I think. But yeah, the women that came out, so brave, and the justice that needs to be done, we're not there yet, but I hope one day we will, every single woman that you know spoke out and is continuing to do speak out as well, hopefully they will get their day and the justice and peace as well when it comes to speaking out.
There is the timing of it. Is kind of fortuitous in the sense that it all came about at a point where wrestling was at a full stop. So there was no danger of people being blacklisted or scrubbed from history because everything was at a standstill, and which is no better time. You know, the best time to fix a car is when it's pulled in. And so the timing of it was incredible. But there's a few people who I've spoken to who are reluctant to go back once wrestling gets up and running again. And I know wrestling has been your life and your blood since you were 8 years old, watching it with your mum. And I don't know whether your feelings towards getting back have changed.
With that, like, I have been, you know, here and there with it. I do love wrestling. I don't want to lose that passion for wrestling. I just want to see where wrestling lands first. And I want to see the actual moves being made, which obviously BBC Sport, that's amazing. That's what we need. Coverage, awareness being spread. We need an independent body. That's important. We need every company to have policies in place, not just Google policies for sports and copy and paste onto the website and then call it a day. I mean actual specific policies where it actually has meaning behind it, not just to please people. It's because you actually care. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. That's who I want to work for anyway, you know. And a lot of some companies have come to me and asked me questions, and I really appreciate that as well, in the sense where it's like, you know, like some companies have asked me to come wrestle for them. I said, hold on, do you have any policies in place? Do you have any safeguarding policies in place? Do you have any COVID procedures yet? Someone said yes, some said no. The people that said no, I'd be like, get it sorted. you know, don't just don't book shows unless you have stuff in place for safety. Or because if you don't have that in place, then what's the point of speaking out? There was no point at all.
Is there any companies that you're personally impressed with the strategy going forward?
I'm very impressed with Progress. Lucy's done a killer job with getting the policies together, so shout out to her. I've been very impressed with Riptide. I know behind the scenes are getting policies together. Resurgence, you know, they're getting stuff together. Like a lot of companies that are getting stuff put together. They're not rushing. They want to make sure that the wrestlers that are going to be on their show are looked after first, then the shows and all that will come afterwards. That's who I'm impressed by so far. But there's so many, like, there's so many in the works, you know. It's so hard, it's so early to even say. We won't know until shows come back on, really, and we won't know until then if they've really applied themselves to making a change in wrestling.
As well as taking free wrestling matches, you're allowed to take with you a movie, an album, and a luxury item. And it's nice to see what people's initial reactions are to if I say to you, if you can take a movie, what movie would it be? So what movie would it be, Chikara?
Easy. Ratatouille.
Oh, nice! Underrated, yeah, Pixar easy. Classic.
Exactly. Easy. Easy, easy choice for me. Ratatouille.
What's made you fall in love with Ratatouille?
It's the best film ever. That's why. That's why. Right? And I don't need to explain myself to you. The best film ever.
I owe you nothing. Best I owe film. You nothing.
I owe nothing. Nah, Ratatouille's a great film. Great film.
Best,
great film.
What's the best part of Ratatouille? What's the best part?
Best part of Ratatouille, I think it would have to be... See, every part's the best bit. That's the thing, every part. I think my favourite bit, which was a really cute moment, is when the young chef, he caught him in the jar and then he let him go, trusting him to come back, but they ran off and then he felt bad, looked at him looking sad and ran back, and then from then on they started cooking and practising. Actually, but another part of the movie was really good, when they're in the toilet and then he was on his head and they're trying to figure out how to move with the hands and stuff, with the crazy. Every single bit of that movie is brilliant. So
amazing. Have you been on the Ratatouille ride? I know there's one at Disneyland Paris.
I haven't.
Oh, that's so good. Oh, that's so good.
I didn't know about this years ago. I didn't know this existed until about March.
Oh, so I'm pissed. It's brilliant. Yeah. It's so good. How about an album? What would you take for an album?
Album. I'm not really an album girl. I'm more like, I listen to songs. And then if it's in the same album, great. But let me see. Album. Do you know what? Jeez, you put me in a spot here now.
Yes, that's the plan. See, it's a funny one. Like the album thing, I speak to a lot of people. They often go...
easy, mate. I've got it.
There we go.
I've got it. Nicki Minaj. Nicki Minaj, recent album, Majesty. Classic. Oh, best album. Love it.
I thought you were going to say Pink Friday, and we were going to be united in love for Pink Friday. But
every album Nicki Minaj is good. Every album's good. But that album was killer. I loved it.
Which is the best song on the album?
There's too many. There's too many. That's the problem. I like Ganja Burn. I like Chan Sway. I like Majesty, Labyrinth. Probably my top three. Chan Sway is a really good song. Majesty is really good. Yeah, I think those two are probably my favourites from the album. But they're all good.
Incidentally, is that how you pronounce... Is that how you pronounce Labyrinth? Is it Labyrinth? Because I've always called him Labyrinth. I feel bad now.
Labyrinth.
I've always called him Labyrinth. I just assume that we were all meant to remember the A, but we can pronounce it. But it makes sense to call him Labyrinth.
Do you know what? I think you're right, actually. Labyrinth. See, I'm from London, you see. So London people, we just say everything as quick as possible. So I'd say Labyrinth quicker.
But you know what I mean? Labyrinth would make more sense, though, I guess. Okay, but anyway, enough of that.
L-A, lab. Yeah, Labyrinth. Yeah, you're right.
Well, I hope so, but I don't think so. But anyway, a luxury item. What would you like to take as a luxury? So this is something that maybe means something to you, something that bring you comfort while on the desert island, maybe a bit of tech or something to make life more convenient for you. What would you like your luxury item to be?
My laptop.
Nice.
I can I bring my charger as well?
Yeah, go on then. You can bring your charger. Otherwise, you can only have a laptop for 2 hours.
Exactly. I have my laptop, 100% my laptop.
Away from browsing the internet, what sort of stuff do you do with your laptop?
Fortnite. I watch a lot of Twitch. Fortnite. Nailed it. So you know me already, mate.
Who do you like on Twitch? Who are you enjoying the work of on Twitch?
I love Booga. I love Benji Fishy. I love all of those people. All the Fortnite stream. I love all of them. I don't care who it is. And on stream Fortnite, I don't care. They're all good. All really cool people. It's like a little community that I love.
It's something, isn't it, about how we've all become not so much interested in playing games, but watching people play games. Like, I'm fascinated by it because I'm the same. I love watching people play games rather than playing them.
Yeah, like back in the day, I used to watch a lot of FIFA. I can never play it though. But I loved it. I loved it a lot. Like I used to watch KSI and watch it and play it a lot. Back in the day, like years and years ago, when KSI was playing FIFA, and that was a really big thing. Back in the day, like Nepenthes, he's watching play FIFA. I actually bought a PS Vista to play it on, and. Yeah, I played it for like a day and then forgot about it.
And then you thought, I just want to watch KSI play it instead.
Exactly, yeah. It's because they're good at it. So you're thinking, all right, cool, amazing. Like, I can pretend I'm playing or something.
I can live vicariously through KSI, who's storming it.
Exactly. It is so way better, though. You know when you're in bed, you're watching some games, relaxed. I love that.
Next week on Desert Island Graps, we're joined by indie star and recent star of AEW, Dark Puff.
I had a kind of awkward moment with him where I was like, hey, man, we've never met before, but man, you're cool. I like you. I can tell his reaction that it didn't come off the way I was trying to say it.
So we've come to your final match for your DVD. So we've had Undertaker and Kane. In the Inferno match, Beautiful People versus ODB and Gail Kim from TNA. What would you like your last match to be, Chikara?
Right. I think... See, I was a bit back and forth with this one, right? But I thought to improve myself as a wrestler, right? Let's just say I get rescued, right? From the desert island, right? So I'm making my own sort of story up here now. How about I watch one of my own matches that I enjoyed? So I would like to watch myself versus Connor Mills.
And here we go, our first singles match of the night. crowd hyped and ready for this one. Kicking that hand out of the way, that is very surprising. They both trained at the same school, they know each other very well at Knuckle Locks. As we begin with the Coronel Albert tie-up here, as we say, other names trained here include Chuck Mambo, Spike Gervais, and...
Chikara already holding her arm here. You have to wonder if this match goes, you know, goes the distance, how much that's going to really affect her.
And a takedown there. Chikara grabbing on to the waist. And the first big move and momentum goes to Chikara, and you see her there showing off her pythons.
Yeah. I was actually meant to be Connie Mills versus Candy Floss, but she couldn't do it because of her toe. So therefore, I stepped in, and it ended up being one of my favourite matches of that year. And it really boosted my confidence a lot. From then on, I had some really cool matches from that match on. And I think Connor really gave me that boost I needed, and I felt the package that day. You know, I came in last minute and we killed it, and that's what made me really push myself following from that match as well.
How much in the way of intergender wrestling had you done up until that match with Connor Mills?
Not many, that's the thing. Not many at all, really. I did maybe two beforehand, maybe. From that match, I had a banger of Elijah. We had a match with Darius. And that was all from Resurgence. And that all came off the back from my match with Connor Mills.
And what is it you feel... In terms of putting together an intergender match, like, what changes in the process of building a match like that?
So, last minute sort of thing?
Yeah.
I'm a nervous wreck, me, regardless of what, I could have 10 hours to do a match and I'll still be nervous, but we had about an hour and we were both late because traffic, so it was very much a 10-minute thing, but I sort of knew what he did, he knew what I did, so we just sort of was like, sure, let's just, put that there, and that'd be kind of cool, and then, like, I hit a powerbomb midair, that was kind of cool, like, you know, I planned that all within 10 minutes, like, that could have gone awful, do you know what I mean, but the timing was perfect, and it was nerve-wracking, but I've known Connor for years, so my confidence with him was 100%, and he looked after me out there, we did a great job, we were both well, and the crowd loved it, and as long as they loved it, I'm happy.
Who would be a dream opponent for you, both male and female?
Jeff Hardy, Velvet Sky.
Amazing. Nice.
Just to say that I've done it.
Have you had any contact with the beautiful people? Because I know they're a big influence on you.
No, but if you want to ask them, then say that, hey, like, Chikara really likes you, and...
Well, look, I've reached out to them to do Desert Island Grab, so if they get back, I will certainly hook you up.
Yeah, just be like, hi, like, Chikara really likes you guys, and you inspired her to be a wrestler, and she just gone to PWA 500, yada, 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 so, and you're the reason for it, you know, really, like, lay in thick.
I'll make a promise to you now, if I end up getting any of the beautiful people on Desert Island Graps, I will add you to the call.
Yes, just for 2 minutes, just promise.
I'll just shut up, I'll add you to the call, and you guys could go off. That'll be fine.
Yes, brilliant. I'll interview them for you.
Oh, that!
I'll be part of Cosmopolitan.
Even better, mate. Yeah. You nailed it. That'd be brilliant.
I even changed my app name from Chikara to Chikara Cultaholic.
Chikaraholic. So I look legit.
Chikaraholic. I should have my own show, Chikaraholic.
I'll pitch it.
I'm telling you, right? I could change the whole game. Chikaraholic. Write that down.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitor monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.